Amen, 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 amen. It is certainly a move of God that is shifting in the atmosphere, and it is saturating the atmosphere, the world that we live in on today. If you just block everything out in your life, everything that is going on in your world, and turning off the noise over here and turning off the noise over there, and you just give yourself that sanctification and that purification with God, you can sense and you can feel His move. Is there anybody out there that can just sense there's a move of God? I understand that things are happening in our world and people are leaving this world. And I understand all of that, but that does not mean that God is not moving. When God said in Genesis, when He spoke and said, let there be, the moment that He said, let there be, things begin to move, things begin to happen, the air begins to flow, the water begins to move. God is always moving, whether we understand it, whether we can connect all the dots or not, there is certainly a move of God. I want to thank all of y'all that are tuning in with us on this morning, that are listening all over the world, all over the world, to Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I feel a move of God on today. And I want to thank you for just spending a small segment of your time with us on today. I just want to pay homage to all of those that are listening on YouTube, on Facebook Live, on www.soilchurch, and our pastor friends in India and all over the nation, wherever you are on today, I want to thank you for joining in with this move of God with us on today. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of Soil, right? Soil, Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And I want to thank you for spending a small segment of your time on this morning, joining in this move of God on today. All right, I want to thank y'all. And I just want to thank our brother Titus Glenn for ushering us in with P&W, right? P&W, you know, this is the age of acronyms, P&W, Praise and Worship. On this morning, thank you, brother, for all that he does, and he sings from the heart. It's not about winning a Grammy. It's not about the next leading single that's coming out. God is looking for those that are after His heart. That's got a heart out for God. And as long as you're singing from the heart of God, this is what I share with him. I'm talking to him, you bring it from the heart, and this is why we thank you for all that you do, because we are looking for the pureness of the heart to join in the move of God. All right, so again, I want to thank all of y'all that are tuning in with us on today, and also to those that are listening to us on We Talk Radio as well. Just a couple of quick announcements before we dive into the world. First of all, if you're here and you're living on today, you are in truly blessed. Somebody, ladies and gentlemen, didn't wake up this morning. Somebody didn't have the opportunity to be able to be a part of this move of God. So for the time that you have left, let's make sure that we use our time effectively, efficiently, for whatever God needs for us to do, because you don't know when your last day is. You don't know when that time is going to expire. There is this thing called a dash on our headstones, okay? There's a day that you're born and a day that you die. This thing called a dash. We're right now living in the dash of our lives. What does your dash say about you? What does your dash say about the move of God and how you are involved in the move of God? Everything that you do, don't take it for granted on today, because God can use you in a mighty, mighty way, all right? So I just want to dive into some of the announcements that we have on today. We do have, for our leadership team, we've got a leadership meeting, just to remind you, 7 p.m. this Tuesday, okay? To be on time is to be early. 7 p.m., we've got a leadership meeting. We've got some things that we're fine-tuning. And let me tell y'all something. The team is putting together something spectacular for all of you that live in the North Texas area. More to come with that. We've got some information that we're going to send you, some things that we're getting ready to do, because it's time for us to come together. Can everybody admit that it is time for Spirit of Inspiring Love Church to see people in a building? How about that? To see people come together, to see and experience the move of God, okay? There is something special that's getting ready to happen. And we're going to talk about that more, but right now our team is we're rolling up our sleeves and we're putting it all together. And it's going to happen sooner rather than later. More to come with that, but I am super excited about what we're getting ready to do. And let me tell you, North Texas, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet, and I cannot wait for us to be able to tell you about the great things that we're getting ready to do, okay? All right, awesome, awesome. And speaking of a move of God, that's right, myself, Pastor Jeremy Glenn, that's right, I will have one of my very first interviews since I've been in ministry. I'll be interviewed on live on We Talk Radio next Sunday, 9 p.m. If I get a flyer or something, I'll send that out. I'll be interviewed here about just my walk and my journey with ministry. And this is part of a Pastoral Appreciation Month, the month of October. Okay. So next Sunday, 9 p.m., I'll get a brochure, put it out there. But I'd love for a lot of you to tune in. And we're going to have a segment on there to where you can call in and ask me. You can call in off the cuff and ask me some things. And just to really talk about a lot of the things that the ministry is doing and where we come from and where we're going and the vision that we have. So I don't want to tell you too much about it, but next Sunday I should be able to give you a little bit more. But next Sunday, 9 a.m., it'll be broadcast all over the world. I have my very first live interview regarding ministry, and I am super, super, super looking forward to that, okay? So just thank you. Continue to be in prayer, because everything we do for God, okay? And a few other things that we're getting ready to do within the community are coming up very, very soon. So we are getting ready to bust through the scenes and let you guys know the wonderful things that God is using through this ministry through on today. Okay, we're just a vehicle. We're just a vehicle. He said to go forth and make disciples of all men, and every ounce, every talent, everything that God gives us to do, that's what we want to do during this move of God. Okay. All right. So you guys let me know if for any reason at all, I want to get a little technical now, if for any reason at all that you cannot hear me. We're still testing different mics and trying to make sure that we put our best foot forward, because guess what? He told us to be faithful over the few. Okay? Remember that series? He told us to be faithful over the few. I want to do the best that I can do with the best of my abilities. Our team, our IT production guy, and everybody, we're doing everything that we can to make sure we bring you the word of God to the absolute best of our abilities. That's our passion, because we just want to make sure that God is represented in the best of ways, okay? All right, so let us get ready to dive into the meat and potatoes of the meeting of our message on today here. And I just want to thank all of y'all. And here's something that I want to say. I want to thank y'all that reached out to me about last week's message and how that has changed your life. I say all the time that you have to be in position to be transformational when it comes to the word of God, because the word of God, it transforms. You cannot feast on the word of God and expect to stay the same. God is moving. It is a constant movement. And when you feed on God, when you feed on the word of God, you yourself are also going to move. You're going to change. You're not going to walk the same. You ain't going to talk the same. You ain't going to have the same desires to go to the same places. And I just want us to understand that you can expect change. You can expect a move. You can expect a shift when you continue to feed on the word of God, because those spiritual nutrients are going to grow you. They're going to take you higher. They're going to promote you. They're going to allow you to be used in ways in which you never imagined. But it starts with you just having that fellowship with God. So I just want to just welcome you to continue to feed on the word of God. Listen to our messages, and during the week, go back and replay these messages to help you on Wednesday till we get some things going midweek. Feast on this. This is kind of one of those old Thanksgiving meals or one of those meals that Big Mama used to cook, right? And you guys can eat on it all week. You can eat on it all week. Feed on the word of God all week. Okay, when Wednesday get here and you've had a few bumps and bruises happen Monday and Tuesday, fill up on the word. Thursday, Friday, fill up on the word. Don't let this just be 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday morning. This has to become a lifestyle. You want to constantly feed on the word of God, okay? So I just want to thank y'all that reached out that said, hey, speaking to the mind, it spoke right to me. Thank you so much for that, because this is what we want. We want what God wants for you. And whatever it is that God wants for you, this ministry wants that for you, okay? So as you grow in your walk with God, we're going to give you everything that God gives us to give you to equip you, to prepare you, get into my message a little bit, and to make sure that you're aligned with what God has for you during this move of God, okay? So I do want to, again, thank everybody that's helping us, that's growing us, and for whatever you do to help move this ministry forward, from the sincerity of my heart, I do want to thank you for every text, every encouragement, every offering, every seed, everything that you do. We definitely thank God for you. Last week, we talked about speaking to your mountain. We talked about speaking to your mountain and how we laid the foundation of the message is Jesus was, he was on this route. He was on this route to Jerusalem. A lot of you know that he was going to Jerusalem. It was all part of a prophecy for him to fulfill his obligations in Jerusalem, right? And so he was in route and while he was on route, okay, he became hungry. See, some of us forget that Jesus was human. He had a human experience during the 33 years that he lived here on earth. So he was hungry. The Bible records him being hungry. And as he's on this journey, okay, he's kicking up this appetite. He's kicking up this appetite, and he sees this tree that's in full bloom. Even though it was out of season, it was still in full bloom, and it happened to be a fig tree. He walked up, and as he was passing and getting closer, he was walking up, and I can just imagine Jesus being hungry and just really and truly having an acquired taste for some figs. His mouth was probably salivating. He was probably, you know, experiencing that, you know how it is when you're hungry and you can be driving down and you see this billboard, right? This billboard of a Whataburger. You know, Whataburger, they're very notorious for putting billboards in certain places to just make you say, what about that now? They put them fresh tomatoes and that lettuce and all that stuff on there, and it brings an acquired taste. They stimulate your mind and it takes you there. So I could just imagine as Jesus is walking, he's seeing this billboard called the fig tree, and he's seeing these figs, and he's looking and he's in high anticipation, ready to eat these figs. And as he gets closer, he notices something. He notices that there are leaves, but what he's looking for is not there. What he's looking for is not there. That could be a message all in itself. When Jesus is looking, we've got all the fancy bells and whistles and all of that, but there's no figs that are being produced from what we're doing. So there's this tree, and he's looking with anticipation, and he begins to see that nothing is there. And he continues on with his journey, and I can just see him kind of just looking at this and saying, you know what? You were supposed to be producing. You were supposed to be bringing something forward. But since you're not, I'm going to curse you. And the Bible says that he cursed the tree so that no one would ever eat from it again and continue to move on. That's where we started in our message last week. It was deceitful, but it was not producing, although it had leaves and it was in full bloom season. And he spoke by faith, you're cursed and you will never bear fruit again. He spoke that, ladies and gentlemen, by faith, okay? And he spoke that the tree would wither and would never be able to be used again. And I want us to also understand in that message, then we transitioned and said, you can, in fact, speak to your mountain and cause the mountain to move out of your life. You can cause the mountain to wither. You can cause the mountain to move. And Jesus said, not only cause it to move, but tell it where to go. Tell it where it needs to go. And he said that if you do this and you don't have any doubt at all, but believe. In other words, if your mindset is all about believing and you don't allow any room for doubt at all, it will be done for us. It will be done for us. Okay? Because now if you allow for doubt, you will allow a delay. I'm going to say that again. If you allow for doubt, you will allow a delay. This is what he wanted us to understand. And we identify that mountains, in this text, they're referred to as personal mountains. And they can be considered as challenges in our lives. And the difficulties and things that we experience in our lives, they can stand in this thing called a path of our life. That fig tree was along Jesus' path to Jerusalem. He was going to fulfill his purpose and his plan. And this fig tree here kind of caught him off guard. And he said, that won't happen. Again, this is what happens to us in life sometimes. We're moving on into the journey of our lives. And then something comes up. And we think it's there to assist us. We think that it's there to support us, and we realize that it's nothing but fool's gold. It's nothing that's coming from it. And Jesus is saying, you still got a journey. You still got a path to take. But these are the difficulties in our lives that stand in the path of our lives and our destinies. And one of the slides that we had, we're going to put up a slide from last week as we lay the foundation of our message here. And this is what I want us to understand. God may not want you to pray your mountains away. He may want you to speak your mountains away. All right, I'm going to say that again because let me tell you something. That slide right there just kind of, it rung within my soul all last week and week before, and it's just really been really registering with me. And I know that if it's registering with me, it's registering with someone else. So I want to say that again because this is what I want us to know and to understand is that God may not want you to pray your mountain away. He may want you to speak your mountain away. What a word from God. What a revelation from God. But here's what I want us to know as we continue to bridge the gap or make the connection or line up the foundation of our word on this week. I got news for us, ladies and gentlemen. Once we speak the mountain away, the reality is that we don't know what's on the other side of the mountain. We don't know what yet is coming along our path. Because once the mountain moves, we don't know what's next. Once the mountain moves, we don't know what's next. Now, let me add a little bit of clarity and context before we get into the real root of our message on today, okay? Here's what I want us to understand. See, the disciples, they decided to follow Jesus. He said, come. They made the decision to come, and I can tell you, they had no idea what they were getting themselves into. All they did was follow, because here's what Matthew 4 and 19, now this is not our overall text here, but I'm just going to make some references as we lay the foundation of our message here. Matthew 4 and 19, the New King James Version says, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I will make you. There is something about the making of, okay, the making of, I will make you fishers of men. They did not know what was all involved with being made into a fisher of men. So they didn't know what to expect next. They didn't know what lied ahead on their journeys. So as we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, about speaking to our mountains, I've got a question for us on today, because here's the title of our message, and this is what I want us to understand. As we speak to our mountains, I've got a question for us on today. Let's put up that slide to lay the foundation of our message on today. I've got a question. Are you prepared for the other side? That's right. My question on today is, are you prepared for the other side? Let us pray on this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for bringing us together one more time. We don't take this time for granted, Lord. We don't take this time as just another day, another moment, Lord. But use this time to refuel the lowness of our tanks. Use this time, Lord, to just import your spiritual gas to help us to have everything we need to move on in our journeys, Lord. Somebody is weakened, and somebody, Lord Jesus, is on that last ledge. They're giving up, and they're ready to throw in the towel. But you said in your word that once we drink of your water, that, Lord, we will never thirst again. Lord, I pray that you quench that thirst of giving up, that thirst of just wanting to give in, that thirst of wanting to just be done with life, Lord. You said that you come to give us life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. And I speak abundance into the listening of everyone that's listening to this message on today. Abundance in their health, abundance in their wealth, abundance in their knowledge. Abundance in their growth in you, Lord Jesus, and their abundance to be used according to your purpose and your glory. And I know, Lord, that this word is prophetic. I know that this word is profound. I know that this word will convict. Help me, Lord, to just deliver it like you gave it to me. To be able to teach what you want your people of God to be able to know and understand on today. And we thank you in advance for everything that you're doing in the mighty, magnificent name of Jesus. Lord, renew our minds. Renew our strength. Help us to wash away all distractions and bad news and everything that's going on in our lives. And I just pray that this is not just clickbait for someone. that somebody is, just because this is online, that they cannot experience everything that they need to. The devil is a liar. Everything can be experienced, because there's nothing that's too hard for you. And I just pray, Lord, that you just give us the wherewithal and the patience and the diligence to listen to the entirety of this message. And we thank you in advance for all that you're doing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I want to thank all of y'all that are joining with us on today. And I just want to thank you for just spending a small segment of your time with us on today. So my question that I wanted us to feast on and to understand is, are you prepared for the other side? Are you prepared for the other side? And I just want to kind of take us, as we're walking along this journey with Jesus, and I want to give us some context as to where we are with our message here. Because here's what I want us to understand. Jesus had just performed one of the most profound miracles that we read in the entire Bible. He fed the masses. And the masses represent, the Bible records it as 5,000 men plus women and children. So it was definitely more than 5,000 people. And he had just fed these people here. And I want us to understand, the disciples were right there to witness every bit of this. A little boy's lunch, the loaves of bread and the fish and everything that the little boy had packed for himself, God was able to turn that into plentiful. And the Bible records that there were fragments that were left, that were gathered up, that he assigned them to be able to gather up once the feasting was done. So after he and the disciples had fed the masses, he had them again to gather up the fragments. And I want to talk, coming from the book of Mark, okay? Mark is found in the New Testament. Mark was one of the 12 disciples. And you know, you've got the four Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they were four of the 12 disciples. They've got four different accounts of their experience with Jesus. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write everything down. So when we read the four Gospels in the Bible, okay, I'm going to give us a little bit of theology here. When you read the four Gospels in the Bible, there are going to be four different versions of the same things that they all saw. Mark saw it this way. John saw it a different way. Matthew thought about this, but Luke said that. But it was all them walking during the journey. You will read in the Bible that there are some accounts that Mark has that John doesn't. There are some things that Luke has that Matthew doesn't. Okay, so when you read that, I want us to understand that it's the same group. And I can put five people in the room, and five of us can experience or see the same thing, and there will be five different viewpoints, five different contexts, five different opinions or thought processes from the same thing. This is the reason why there are four different versions of the Bible, or four different accounts of Jesus from the four different disciples. This is what I want us to understand. So when you understand these things, you can say, hey, what about this over here? What about that over there? This is why you have to have teachers of the word, to help us to understand, this is why this is different. This is what God is saying. This is how we break this down, and this is what God needs for us to know. Okay? So I just want to give us a little bit of theology on that, because we don't come from Mark very often. We come from John and Matthew quite often here. But Mark is a little different. Mark has a different mindset. He was a very short and succinct person, where Matthew is very detail-oriented. John is looking for the love and everything, and it's going to come with more compassion. So Mark is a little bit different. So he's going to be short, succinct when it comes to certain things. And I just want to let you know, kind of get into the mindset of where this whole gospel of Mark is coming from and why it sounds a little bit different. Okay, so reading into Mark here, going into chapter 6, verse 45, we're coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. This is what I want us to understand. We're going to put it up on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles with you, we just want to make sure that you have it, and you can follow along with us here. All right, Mark 6 and 45. Here, remember, this is Jesus, and he just fed the masses. He just fed the 5,000. And what's happening is, now the evening is getting ready to come up, and now it's getting ready to get dark, and Jesus is sending the masses away. And then it says right here, then immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethesda, while he sent the multitude away. Immediately is what I want us to understand. Good morning to some of you that are coming in and joining in on us this morning. Immediately is the word. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat. This is all part of the making them disciples of men. Immediately he made them get into the boat and go before him. In other words, they went ahead of Jesus. And then he sent the multitude away. What I want us to understand is that the multitude that were following him, they had followed Jesus because he was extremely captivating. He taught in a way in which no one had ever heard anything be taught before. After 30 years of being a scholar, 30 years of studying and being around some of the greatest minds, he positioned himself around a lot of great minds. And that right there is something that, especially the young people, I want you to understand, position yourself around greatness. Position yourself around great minds and listen to the wisdom from your elderly people. Take the wisdom that they have, this 20, 30 plus years that they have in experience, and allow it to be poured into you, because number one, it will help you fast track that level of knowledge that you have without having to experience some things. And it's just going to enhance your overall bank of knowledge that you have. This is what Jesus did. He hung around the temples and the synagogues, and he listened to great teachers and speakers. This is what he did. So it's not surprising. Not only is he the Son of God, but there was a natural application of this world that he did to position himself to be the best that he could. Okay, this is what Jesus did. So he was extremely captivating because he learned from some of the greatest teachers. He learned how to teach the word of God. Now, he was so captivating here. I'm going to kind of go just a little, something that we can all relate to. We all got Netflix, right? And we all do this thing called binge watching. Okay, I'm gonna get a little practical, right? And sometimes when it's a show that you really like, you know, some of you like Cobra Kai, and some of you like my wife and I, we love Cobra Kai. Different things, you know, All American, right? Whatever it is that you like, you binge watch that. And what happens is you're watching that, and the writers are so great, they keep you captivated to where when the show or that segment is getting ready to go off, they hook you. And they want you to get a taste of what's getting ready to come next. So then you just say, well, you know what? I know it's midnight and I need to go to bed. I gotta watch this next episode. This is what was happening as the people were following Jesus. He was so captivating that it was like, I've got to hear what he's getting ready to say next. I need to hear what his next message is going to be. Remember, he would teach and then he would move. And they'd begin to walk and they would just follow because they never knew when the next lesson would come, or when someone would walk up to him or ask a question or something, and he would use that as a teaching moment. This is why he was so captivating. And this is why the multitudes would just follow him, because they never knew when the next teaching was going to come. And this is what I wanted us to understand. So here's the deal. They were following him. He was so captivating. And what happened was, he began to teach in certain things, and this is what he wanted them to understand. But there was this thing called a mountain call that he needed to work on before he began to feed the people here. I'm getting a little bit twisted up here. There was this mountain, because what happened was they were so captivating, was my point. They were, quote-unquote, binge-watching Jesus to where nobody thought about how were these folks going to eat. Nobody thought about who were going to feed these people. One of the disciples said, hey, Rabbi, it's getting late. What are we going to do to feed these people? And Jesus took what he had, and that's how the miracle of feeding the 5,000 plus came into fruition. And I said that all to say that he was so captivating and people followed. He was so captivating and people followed. So what I wanted us to understand is when you're following the leader, sometimes you don't know where you're going. When you're following the leader, you're trusting that the leader is leading you where you need to go. They didn't know that they were just going to start from here and end up there. They were just following the captivity and the greatness of his teaching. And then somebody thought, wait a minute, somebody needs to feed these people. Okay? So what happened was you could look at that as that was a mountain that they were faced with. And Jesus said, okay, well, something's here. Go find somebody that has something. And then this miracle is going to come into manifestation. So that was a mountain that they faced. And that mountain moved into a miracle. And after everything was done and all of the people ate, and Jesus, he blessed the little boy's lunch, and God began to continue to restore and begin to reciprocate and begin to give more food. And they were handing out more food than what they started with. One of the most amazing miracles. And they gathered up the fragments. How do you go from having just one little boy's lunch to now having fragments after more than 5,000 people? This is why people didn't want to leave Jesus. These were amazing things that were happening during that time. So what I want you to understand is just after that happened, after that fresh miracle was performed, what happened was now Jesus is saying, okay, now I got to shift gears. I need the disciples to go this way because I've got to go that way. What am I saying here? Because even Jesus had to get himself replenished. Jesus had to go spend that sacred time with the Father. And he had to just kind of get away to kind of get himself charged back up, get his mind renewed, get ready for the next journey. That's my whole point in saying all of this. So in reading this text, I wanted to kind of give you the context because I don't want to just read you scriptures. I want to try to be as much of a theatric view of what's going on so you can understand kind of the situation at hand. Okay? So this is what's happening during this time here. And reading this text, this is what I want us to understand is that he told the disciples to go before him. You guys get into the boat. Massive, you guys leave. Disciples, you get into this boat here. You go this way. I'm going to go that way. I got to get myself renewed and restored with the Father. Because all of us, once you have given, and I want to talk to our leaders and our teachers and everybody that gives so much on a day in and day out basis, you yourself have to go get replenished. You give so much during the day. These kids over here acting this way. Okay, your employees over here doing this. They're pulling on you over here, pulling on you over there. You're one person. And what you got to understand is that you yourself, even just as Jesus did, right? You yourself have to go and get yourself restored. You got to get yourself replenished. But while he's doing that, he's sending the disciples on a mission. He just told them to get in the boat and to meet him. He didn't say how. He just told them what they needed to do. So as you read this and reading this text, I want us to understand he said to go before him. Okay? He said to go before him. And keep that in mind because they were called to follow Jesus. So when Jesus said go and they were called to follow him, they went. Okay? They didn't ask why. They didn't give them a debate or anything else. They just went. Because when you're called to follow, you just believe and you just go. And you just follow. Okay? So Jesus is saying this because I want us to understand here, their job was to just be obedient. If he said to go, their job was just to go and to be obedient. Because what I want us to understand in 1 Samuel 15 and 22, he reminds us that obedience is greater than sacrifice. Okay? Obedience, ladies and gentlemen, is greater than the sacrifice. So if you just saw, if you're a disciple, and I'm going somewhere with all of this. If you are a disciple and you just saw more than 5,000 people get fed from a little boy's lunch, and might I add, you know, it was a little boy's lunch and they have to put it all together here, you really ain't got time to question if Jesus just say, go, wait a minute. Your mind is still captivated. You're just like, what just happened? How did this just happen? Then all of a sudden Jesus says, get in the boat and go. Because all you in a position like that have time to do is obey. How are you going to question the miracle that you just saw? How are you going to question when you just saw greatness? Sometimes you got to just move. And this is why we talk about a move of God. Sometimes you just got to move with the flow and trust that he's leading you into a direction of where you need to go in your life. Because here's the deal. And when you're going, let me tell you what happens. This is how you know where you're going is part of your destiny. Because there's this thing called mountains that tend to show up. If you don't have mountains in your path, then you might need to confirm if you're going in the path that God has for you to go. Because when mountains show up, sometimes you only have time to just kind of read and react. You're moving and depending on your speed and all these other things here. Sometimes you ain't got time to pray that mountain away. Sometimes you ain't got time to question it. Sometimes if you're told to go, the only time you have is to speak to it. Sometimes the only time you have is to speak to it. And let me tell you, when you speak to it, here's the deal. That mountain has to obey your obedience. Mountains will move if you're walking in the path of righteousness. Mountains will move if you're going where God tells you to go because it's a part of your journey. Mountains will move if you're being obedient and doing what God is telling you to do. Then, according to God, he says that everything works together for the good. That means that mountain has to get out of your way. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. So So what I want us to understand, and I'm going to put a quick slide up here on this morning, if you're going on the path that God needs you to go, the mountain has to obey your obedience. The mountain, ladies and gentlemen, has to obey your obedience. Man, that's good right there. Because, you know, sometimes we don't think about that. That obedience leads to obedience. I'm going to let that sink in for a little bit. Obedience leads to obedience. We're going to school today. We'll shout later. Obedience leads to obedience because this is what I want us to understand. When you are obeying God, everything along your path has to follow in the line of obedience, of you being obedient. This is how everything works together for your good. So they did not have time or the room to question Jesus when he said, go get in the boat. They just had to go follow the instructions and do what he said to do. They just needed to obey. He told them to go ahead. He told them to go ahead. In other words, y'all get in this boat and y'all go to the other side. Okay? And as we put this next slide up here this morning, this is what I want us to understand. Sometimes God won't allow us to get in our own way. So we don't have time to shake up the obedience. Sometimes he won't allow us to get in our own way so that we don't have time to shake up the obedience. I'm gonna go somewhere, and I'm gonna go somewhere here. Okay, just stay with me as I go somewhere, because I want y'all to understand something. Okay, now, our ladies out there, y'all know I love you. I love you, first lady. I love you, and I'm gonna say this, and this is not a gender specific statement that I'm getting ready to make. This is a teaching moment that I want us to understand here. See, Eve's problem was that she spent too much time thinking about the what if in the Garden of Eden. Adam was so occupied in doing what God had him to do, he didn't have time to listen to the serpent. Okay? But the devil knew that Eve did. Because an idle mind is what? The devil's playground. And if he knew that if he could just plant a what if in Eve's mind, if he could plant that what if seed in her mind, he could make her get in her own way of obedience. And he knew that if he would do this, he would automatically get to Adam, and that would, in fact, have become the downfall of man. So I want you to understand here that that was all about obedience, and I want us to understand here. I want you to look at your neighbor and say something. Okay, say something in the chat for me here. Get out of your own way. Tell your neighbor, because one of the biggest problems that we have is sometimes we get in our own way. If Jesus told us to go get in the boat, I want to know how many of us would say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, where are we going? What are we doing this for, Jesus? Well, why are you over there walking? And where are the 5,000? Where are they supposed to go? Now, sometimes we can't move into the path that God needs for us to go because we have too many what ifs in our mind. That what if seed gets planted in our mind and it causes us to not move forward in our path, in our lives. So here's what I want you to understand, and I'm putting another slide up here on this morning. Is don't spend time trying to question God. Just do what he tells you to do. If he says get in the boat, just get in the boat. If he says I need you to do this for somebody, just do it. Whatever he tells you to do, get the what ifs out of your mind and just be obedient, because obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience has to line up with everything that you do. Obedience will move you into the path of righteousness. Obedience is what God needs for us to do. So if he told you to go, he knows where he's leading you. Okay? And if you just need to go and just be obedient. And here's something that I want to say. Some of us in our lives, and I'm just talking, okay? We're just having a conversation. Let's act like we're at the dinner table and we're just talking. Some of us would be a lot further in our lives if we didn't spend too many times questioning things. Some of us would be so much further if we didn't have all these what ifs. We stand on the sideline instead of writing out the guidelines, and therefore we're staying right where we are, and we're not moving forward, and we're not progressing. Okay? And this is called being spiritually paralyzed, and we cannot see what's on the other side. Perhaps we won't speak to our mountain because we don't know what awaits us on the other side. We spend too much time trying to analyze and look at this and look at all these things and allow, maybe we're trying to pull it up on Google and we're doing all these other things. And when he simply said, just go. But sometimes we get in our own ways. Now, here's what I want us to know as I put up our next slide here on this morning here. Just because you spoke to the mountain doesn't mean the mountain is going to move instantly. Just because you spoke to it doesn't mean that it's going to move instantly. This is what I want us to understand, because this is the part that people don't like. Well, why ain't it gone? I spoke to it. Well, why is it still right here? Why this and why that and blah, 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 blah. Is the Bible real? Is God real? All these other things, and it puts a clutter into your mindset. And we wonder why we stay where we are sometimes. This is the part that makes a lot of people struggle. This is the part here that say, hey, I laid hands on the sick. And I spoke to this mountain, but it's still here. Wait a minute, God, something must not be right. Is something quite not right yet? I mean, is there something going on? Because I laid hands on the sick and they're still sick. I obeyed and I did everything God has asked me to do, but I'm still broke as a joker. I'm still in the same spot. What is the problem here? And I just want to be completely transparent with us on this morning. Because this is where the average Christian gives up and they throw in the towel. Because at this point, we don't believe that faith works. Because remember, oh, I prayed and it has not changed. You know, we say prayer changes things. Well, this thing ain't changed. And as a matter of fact, I prayed for him or her, and this person is still the same. I can't get this person here to act right, or I'm praying for them over there, and they're still living a certain lifestyle. When is this thing going to change? When am I going to see the tide change? When is the pendulum going to swing over here? When am I going to be able to see this mountain move out of my life? Because this is a personal mountain in my life. And it moved, but now I don't understand what's coming next. We have all of these questions. And these questions lead to doubt. And before you know it, remember Jesus said, if you don't doubt, then the mountain will be moved. Going back to the disciples here. Do you realize that right after the miracle of feeding more than 5,000 people, the disciples were immediately sent out into the sea? But here's what they didn't know and understand, is what they were getting ready to encounter in the sea. Remember when Jesus, back in his ministry, when he was getting ready to start his ministry, he had gotten baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and this is where God said, my beloved son, for which I am pleased, right after that, then. Here's what I want you to understand. Mark 1 and 12 says, then immediately, put the slide up here this morning. Then immediately, here's one of the greatest moments in the history of the world, and the dove comes down, and Jesus just being baptized into the Jordan River, and he's getting ready to now start 3 dynamic years of ministry. And then Mark tells us, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. You would have thought that Jesus was getting ready to put it all together and go out and really shake some things up and all of that. No, he was led immediately into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit drove the Son of God into the wilderness. And some translations say he was led by, the New King James Version say he was drove into the wilderness. Some say he was led into the wilderness. And this is a point that I'm making on today. Okay, so I want you to understand here. I'm going to put another slide as I connect this message here on this morning here. Sometimes we spend too much time celebrating the moving of mountains that we're not prepared for what's on the other side of the mountain. What if Jesus was caught up in the man, I'm the Son of God, and this great moment just happened or whatever? What if he was caught up in the man? What if the disciples were so fixated on the feeding of the 5,000 that they got beside themselves and start spelling themselves and thought, hey, you know what, I was part of this thing, I'm big and bad, but they were not obedient. Sometimes, you know, in sports, they say, hey, you're celebrating a little bit too long. You threw a touchdown and then all of a sudden you come back and throw an interception or whatever the case because your mom was still on that TD celebration. This is what I want us to understand here, because I want to talk about the preparation for a moment. Because we have to be prepared for the next steps in our lives. We have to be prepared for what's on the other side of the mountain. Because once we speak to it, the question is, are we prepared for what's on the other side? Now, let's talk about preparation, because everything that we've talked about on today, if you followed and connected the dots and followed all the breadcrumbs, has led to prepare. Jesus said to the disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Okay, this is all about preparation. Now, there was a great civil rights activist named Whitney Young that once said, and you can see we got a slide up here on this morning, he's talking about preparation, and he says, it's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. This is all about preparation. Are you prepared to see the other side? Are you prepared for what's getting ready to come next? Why do you think that you're going through what you're going through today? Think about everything that you're experiencing in your life. The mountains and the challenges and everything that's going on in your life, they're not just happening for a reason. It's all preparation, ladies and gentlemen. Why does it seem like every time I jump over a hurdle, here comes another? Is anybody, can anybody relate to that in their life? It seems like you get past one and here comes another. It's preparation. And it seems like every time I turn around, there is one thing after another. Ladies and gentlemen, it is all preparation. Now, I want to go back to the text, and I'm getting ready to close our message out here because I just wanted to leave some thoughts with us on today. Because I want to go back to the text where Jesus immediately made them get into the boat. Let's talk about what happened when they were in the boat. Jesus sent them seven. He went this way. The masses went that way. He sent the disciples in a boat. That was the only group that was told to get on water. He sent them sailing, but he took a different route so that he could go and pray in private. And now they're out there sailing. They're being obedient. They're doing what he's telling them to do. And when evening came, they were out there in the middle of the sea. They were out there in the middle of the sea, and then came some boisterous wind. Now, Jesus just told me to get out into this sea. Now, all of a sudden, I'm out here in the deep, in the middle, and now come some boisterous winds. Why did Jesus put me in this situation? I'm following the Lord, but now I'm in the middle of boisterous winds. Because here's a slide that I'm going to put up here on this morning. This is what I want you to understand here. Sometimes God knows that you have to be in the middle of your situation in order for you to be prepared for what's on the other side. Sometimes you got to be dead smack in the middle of your situation. How did I get here? How in the world did I end up in this situation? I didn't see this coming. How did I get sunk into the middle of this? How did I get invited into this? How many of us have those questions in our lives? Because sometimes God knows that you got to be dead smack in the middle of your situation in order to be prepared for what's on the other side. Have you ever said that to yourself? How did I get in this mess? How did I get myself so caught up? How many of us have been led into the deep of situations and didn't know that we were that far in? And then comes a storm. This is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm going to put one final slide up on this morning here because I want us to understand. There are some of us in our lives that just don't understand that this is how life has happened to me. We have to be led. And here's the principal note of our message on today. We have to be led into certain levels of preparation because we don't naturally like to face this kind of resistance on our own. I'm going to read that again. We have to be led into certain levels of preparation because we don't naturally face this kind of resistance on our own. If it was up to us, we wouldn't be prepared in certain levels of our lives because we would not naturally put ourselves through that. We would not naturally put ourselves in the middle of that. You won't naturally, here's the deal, you won't naturally give yourself physical therapy. You won't do it. Because you won't initiate that kind, that level of self-resistance. Sometimes it's hard on us to just get motivated to go work out in the gym or go for a walk. So when it comes to certain situations in our lives that really cause us to pull the best out of us, we will not naturally put ourselves in harm's way or in situations like that. God led you into that. God ordered your steps into that situation. When this boisterous wind came up in your life right now, the Holy Spirit led you into that because he said that he knows the plans that he has for you. And those plans that he has for you causes for the other side of that mountain to have a certain level of preparation for you in your life. Ooh, let me tell you something. I better stop right there because I'm getting ready to get into next week's message. I will stop. I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. But this is what I want you to know and understand. You are in the middle of a situation right now. You have been led into something that you have never seen in your life. You have been led into the middle of the sea, and you've got boisterous winds that are happening to you right now in your life. The wind is shifting. The storm is coming down. You spoke, moved to the mountain, and now you step into the middle of a situation right now. I want you to know something. I want you to be encouraged because you're right on time where God needs you. Right now, wherever you are in your life, you're right on schedule where God needs you to be. Right now, you're going through some resistance in your life. Right now, you're going through some physical therapy in your life. Right now, God is pulling the best out of you right now because tea cannot become tea until the hot water is lined up with it right now. There is some tea brewing in somebody's life. God led that in my spirit that right now you're in the middle of the sea right now and there are boisterous winds that are acting a fool in your life right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on schedule.
Hallelujah.
You are on schedule for your life right now. The Lord is saying right now, you just continue to be led. Your steps were ordered, but don't you throw in the towel. Hang on in there. And next week when you come back at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to talk about being in the middle of your storm. We're going to talk about giving you steps of how to hang in there and how to throw that anchor down so that you don't give up. I just want to, wherever you are, you're in the middle of your storm. And I want you to slip your hand up right now because I want you to say something. Say, Lord Jesus, give me the patience and give me the endurance to not give up in my storm. Lord, my steps have been ordered here. I've been doing everything you've asked me to do. I have been obedient. I have been after your heart. Give me the patience. Give me the wisdom. And give me the knowledge to hang on and to not let go. And Lord, I want to thank you because I realize why I'm where I am. I want to thank you because I understand why I'm where I am. And Lord, I love you. Because I know that you've got plans for me. And this is not just for anything, but it is for everything. In Jesus' name, whoever you are out there, I just want you to hang on and don't let go. That resistance is getting built up right now. There is some tea that's brewing in your life right now. And God sent you right here to listen to this word and said, right now the storm is acting up, but this too shall pass. Amen. Amen. Give God a blessing for this word. Because here's what I want you to understand. Even Jesus was led into a storm in his life. If Jesus was led into the wilderness, you have to understand that sometimes wilderness and storms and chaos and different things, they're part of our schedule. But it is going to do something amazing for you in your life. Whatever you are asking God for, he is preparing you for that other side. He is preparing you for that. I'm trying to stop, but the Holy Spirit is still moving. He wants you to hold on and don't let go. Understand that you're in a sweat box right now. You're getting some endurance right now. You're building all your longevity and your sustainability right now. Right now, you're getting that pain tolerance for what you've been asking God for right now. You asked him for this. You asked him for that, and he is loving you so much. He's going to make sure that you are ready for what it is that you have asked for that is on your path. Amen? You got a little bit of last week's message here. We're going to be a little bit more granular and go into the meat and the potatoes on that, okay? But right now, somebody here just got a word. Somebody right now, they got a word, and this word just, it lit a pilot in your life. and you thought that you were so far away from God that there was no coming back, let me tell you something. There ain't nowhere you can go. There ain't no mountain high enough. Okay, there's no river too deep. There's nothing that will keep God from loving you. Y'all know the song. Okay, God will outlove everything you've been through. God will outlove every storm that you've gone through. God will outlove everything because love conquers a multitude of sins. And we all have a multitude of sins in our life. Whoever you are today, I just want to pray with you, Lord Jesus, that man, that woman, that child, whoever they are, they didn't think there was a chance at all that they could have this kind of relationship with you. Whoever they are on today, Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you just help them to know that you never leave them, you'll never forsake them, and that you stick closer to us than any brother, than any sister, than anyone, Lord Jesus. And you never left us, Lord. We left you. We will get away from you. We have fallen, and the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but you didn't go anywhere. There was a song, Lord, that said, he was there all the time. And I'm going to change that. He is there all the time. You never leave. You never leave us, Lord. And I just want, Lord, for somebody to be just convicted in their spirit to give their life back to you. And I just want to thank you in advance for the greatness that you're going to do for them in their life. In Jesus' name. I need somebody to confess. Whoever you are, whoever I'm talking to, I want you to confess. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Welcome me back into your arms. Help me to have a life for you. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. And I accept you as Lord of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. And if that was you, I just want to thank you for making the best decision in your life. This is the first day of the best. What is it? The best day of your life or whatever that is. The best day of the first day or whatever Donald Lawrence wrote in that song. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This is an amazing day for you. And this is day number one of the best days of your life. And I just want to thank you for making a great, great decision on today. All right. And I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God. Your life is about to change. You will never see a mountain the same again. You will never, ever be the same again. If I had titles for somebody playing right about now, I'd have that song. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. Okay? We have that song playing for you right now because that is the truth. You will never be the same again. All right? And you have made the best decision in your life. And if you just need some encouragement, and you just want a little coaching every now and then, or maybe you have a one-on-one desire or something like that. Hey, Eric, just put my email address up here on this morning, if you would, please. You can reach out to me, Pastor Jeremy, okay, at soilchurch.org. Pastor Jeremy at soilchurch.org, okay? I love to coach with you. I love to talk to you. Whatever it is that might be bothering you, that may be on your mind or whatever you might be experiencing. We can chat. We can interact. And I just want to just be a voice for God for you to just help you, inspire you, uplift you, encourage you. And we've got some great things that's getting ready to happen in the North Texas area. I want to say some things, but I'm gonna hold tight because I got to meet with my team first. But I just love ministry. I love God. And I just want what God wants for all of y'all on today. That's nothing more, nothing less. I want what He wants for you. Okay, so I want to thank y'all. Thank you for making that decision. All right, and if you tuned in and you know that you've been blessed by this word, show God with an offering on today. I'm going to challenge you on today. You tune in and you get some wonderful word, and we're getting ready to do some amazing things, and they do take resources. Your natural resources align up with God's spiritual principle. I'm going to say that again. Your natural resources align with God's spiritual principle. The Bible says, give and you shall be, and you shall receive. Give and it shall be given back to you. If you want something to come back to you and you want it directly from God, God says, give. Give to His house. If this word has been a blessing to you, give. Don't tune in and get the word and say hallelujah and text me and all that stuff, but show up with a goose egg. You got a dollar or two. You got something. And the reason why I'm challenging you to do it is because I know what giving will do for you in your life. I know what giving, and sometimes we have to be, we're talking about resistance. We're talking about the other side. We're talking about going through and building and getting out of our comfort zone and all of that. Sometimes your mountain is given. Sometimes your mountain is given. Sometimes you that mountain is just that challenge for you to not give that extra $5 or give that dollar or whatever it is. God just wants you to say, I want you to trust me. If I am blessing you with finances, can you give me back what's mine? And he wants to challenge you to just say, hey, I'm going to just plant this small seed. He's looking for obedience. He ain't looking for the amount. He's not looking for, oh, well, I got these bills and I got all that. Okay, yeah, you got these bills, but if you give, guess what God can do? It ain't a bill that God can't take care of. You're looking at somebody that know. You're listening to somebody that know. Okay, not only do I know with personal bills and debt and all that, I know business bills and business debt and all that, and I have seen what God has done for me in my life. So I'm not telling you anything that I haven't experienced. I just want you to tap into this supernatural resource of God's giving. And he says, give and you shall be given back to you. Press down, shaken together. And he says, men will give unto your bosom. That means that people are out of nowhere and just going to start giving to you. Things are going to start happening. Debts are going to start getting canceled. All kinds of things are going to happen in your life if you just take the step to give. If that is your mountain, speak to that mountain and say, I'm giving. Today is my day that I'm going to give. And for every tithe, every offering that's out there, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for every seed, because there's a seed for every need. There's a need for every seed. And I just want to thank you for everybody that's given into good ground. This soil is so rich. And anybody that gives into this soil, I know there are testimonies out there from people that have been given, that have seen supernatural change in their life. Relationships are being repaired. Broken branches of families are being restored. Okay, financial increase is coming. Jobs and promotions and all kinds of things. Because, Lord, this is all a part of your abundant life. Health is being turned around. Mental health is being restored. And so many great things are happening from just our obedience. For giving like you said to give, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for every offering. Lord, I speak 100-fold return on every seed. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for rebuking the devourer. Because the enemy comes yet to kill, steal, and destroy. That means if it has your value associated with it, the devil wants to kill it. The devil wants to steal it. The devil wants to destroy it. But your giving, it keeps him trapped. And it keeps his hands off of everything that you have for us. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And for everybody that's given into this ministry, I want to thank you for answering the need of every seed, every need, and everything that they have. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic Sunday. Enjoy this beautiful fall Sunday. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to come to part two of our message on today. And are you prepared for the other side? God bless you. God keep you. And we'll see you folks next week.